the Grey Hat Beard podcast.
Hello and welcome to show 42 of Grey Hat Beard, The Meaning of Life. This is the Modern Workplace podcast where we talk about all things Microsoft 365. I'm the Grey of Grey Hat Beard. My name's Kevin McDonnell. I'm a solutions architect at CPS and an Office Apps and Services MVP. Unfortunately, we have no hat this week. Rumours that it's because he drank too much whiskey at Comsverse are not true, so don't let anyone be spreading that. But we do have a beard.
We do, yes. Hi, everyone. My name's Gary Trinder. I'm a modern work consultant at Microsoft, former Office Development MVP and a member of the PNP team.
Oh, I see. We're putting former stuff into our bios now. Okay.
Cool. Right. Why not?
So I'm a former Cox, a former Army cadet trainee, former Scout. Double glazing salesman. Yes. So we're doing all those bits as well.
Former lifeguard. There we go.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to get in trouble for Al. We'll find out if he's listening. But I think maybe on the next episode when Al is here, we should talk about some of the former things he used to do. But he'll kill me for mentioning that. So we should probably move on. This is part one, as usual. In this one, we're talking about the latest news and stuff that's been going on. In part two, we're actually going to be joined by Carolina Ketukari, who was meant to be joining us tonight. Unfortunately, she's a bit ill, so we've decided to postpone the recording of that till next week. And she'll be joining us to talk about Viva Connections and the power of employee experience, which kicks off quite nicely with the first bit of the show notes. The news, and that is that the Viva Connections public preview is now available. Now, I should pause slightly here because some of you may be listening going, hang on, isn't Viva Connections already live? Yes, the Viva Connections capability was announced, and you could put your intranet, your modern homepage into Microsoft Teams. You could get your global navigation in part of that. There were some other smaller, nice things on there. What's really been announced now is the extra, what they call the ACEs, the ACEs. So that the ability to put the dashboard on the page has been released, and also the mobile client as well. So you can now embed and look at your dashboard feed and resources on the mobile client. Now, we were stuttering there. That wasn't just my incompetence at talking, maybe partly that, but also the fact that it's kind of there, the dashboard. I don't know, Gary, if you've had a look, but the dashboard is there. The dashboard web part still isn't. So you can create a new page for those you can see on the see on the screen. We can kind of see these, the adaptive card extensions now. So these sort of small, easy ways to display data, and you can create with those, hook them into APIs and things on there. You can't yet put these onto your homepage. So there's still a little bit to come, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, there's the whole Viva Connections kind of, you know, preview element. There's bits getting released, bits, you know, being updated in SharePoint, bits being updated in Teams, the whole, you know, ACEs kind of web parts. We've then got SharePoint Framework, which is then, you know, actively being developed. We've got the public previews that are being published as well, that you can use the CLI for Microsoft 365 to get the latest previews for your projects.
But that reminds me, you can also, because previously, if you wanted to turn on Viva Connections, you had to use either CLI or PMP PowerShell or the really clunky script from Microsoft. Now you can actually do that for the GUI as well. So there's actually an easier way of doing it.
Yes, definitely. So everything's getting, you know, being worked on in the background. There's a lot of framework changes, framework support that's needed as well for these new experiences. So, you know, I know that there's a lot of developers interested. They're getting involved in GitHub on the public preview, a lot of feedback as well. So I think, you know, like you mentioned, we seem to have talked about this for quite a while, but I think it's that it's getting those things right, which is good. And I like that it's getting things right, and it's collaboration with developers, either internal to companies or ISVs, who are able to give that feedback and really drive the experience forward so that it is a better experience rather than just, oh, it's released and, you know, now we'd like your feedback, please.
Absolutely. I'd say one thing I love about these cards is the, you know, you talk about the developer experience, which is fantastic, really like what you can do with that, but the card designer that they've built with it, the ability to kind of have a power user way of doing that that can connect in with APIs. So if you know a little bit about REST, you know a bit about JSON, but maybe React and TypeScript are a little bit too far for you, you can actually start building these out yourself. So I like where they've gone with that to give a few of the simpler options. It gives a nice kind of spectrum of being able to create these. And I think it's good. The more people can do, the better.
Definitely. Yeah, you want, sometimes you just want something, you know, dead simple. Why do you need to crack open, you know, your development tools just for something basic? You want to leave that to the, you know, the more advanced stuff.
And it's got, I was having this chat. Oh, I forgot the first thing we were going to talk about, which was Commsverse, which I'll come back to in a sec, but it was chatting to someone there about, you know, when do you need development for these things? And I think if you want to change state, so if you want that card that appears on the page that you can click next, or have something react when you click on a button, that's when you go down to development route. If you're just displaying data dynamically from a system, going down a card signer, you can do an awful lot within there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, it depends on your requirements, right? Not everything will need to be real time. In some cases, that real time update will be, you know, fantastic addition. For other people, it's just maybe overhead. No, it's good. Nice to see it progressing.
So a slight deviation to talk about last week. I know Gary wasn't there, but Al and myself were both at Commsverse over in Weybridge in Surrey in the UK, Mercedes-Benz World, which was just the best location. You went in, there was a classic Mercedes right by the escalator. There was the full showroom with all the new ones, the AMGs at the top, which were just gorgeous. On there, had all the Formula One cars there, all interspersed where the rooms were. So you were literally walking around these fantastic cars. There was a test track with people spinning around in circles around the back. And then just the best thing was meeting other people, actually be going around, seeing familiar faces. I was chatting to the two from Office 365 Distilled, having a lovely conversation about whiskey, meeting a few colleagues that I haven't seen for a while, seeing all the vendors and seeing all their Teams devices, which I hadn't seen before, looking very jealously at some of the new Bose headsets, which look very, very nice. I did find out how much they were, which put me off slightly, but they did look fantastic, I have to say, from there. But if I saw any of you there, thank you. If any of you are thinking about coming to events and aren't quite sure, it was lovely. It felt very safe. Everyone felt in a good position. Those who didn't want to get close, they had nice stickers sort of say, you know, don't get too close on there. Seating was laid out nicely. But yeah, thank you, Mark, Randy, Martin, and Philippa for everything you did with that. So a lovely event. Jane Alcott, join us today, and we can talk about the whiskey we had on the pre-night, which made the start to the event a little bit slower than it probably should have been. But it was a lovely chat. So yeah, really good. But what made me think of that was the next article I was to talk about was one you saw, and it is from another podcast. We do encourage you to listen to other podcasts as long as you listen to all of ours. But Work Lab have released a podcast, and they were talking about the hybrid work paradox.
Yeah, so you know, the what we've talked about quite a bit now, you know, there's a as organizations are starting to welcome, you know, employees back into their offices, you know, basically how is this going to pan out in the future? What are the needs of the employees now? Some people have been traveling previous to the pandemic. Now they're spending more time at home. They've found a better, you know, work-life balance. Even higher productivity as well, you know. And but there is this kind of, I guess, split where whilst you've got all those good things, we're also missing things as well. So we've talked about it, like Kev, you mentioned Commsverse. You know, it was a hybrid event, right? You could still join remotely, but you did have the option
some of the speakers were remote as well, so you could sit in the room and have someone presenting remotely and things, and mostly worked.
But it's the same content, but it's taking that content in a different way, being able to discuss that with people directly in a room as well. And, you know, all these different needs, and everyone's different. How do organizations handle the different needs of their employees? And this, you know, 73%, the hybrid work paradox that Microsoft research has done through WorkLab to basically, you know, survey 30,000 people within, you know, Microsoft and say, okay, you know, what kind of are your needs? You know, are you more productive working from home? Are you more productive coming to the office? And the results are both.
Yeah.
You know,
as it says here, like 73% would like the flexibility they've had, but also 67% say they want more time in person. So it's official. We all want to have our cake and eat it, I think.
Definitely. Yeah. And that's it. It's that there's no, it's going to be so situational. You know, I'm as probably a lot of us are, we're in split teams. We've got people who are local to the office. We've got people who are remote. We're running team meetings with people, you know, around a desk, whilst everyone else is remote. And then, you know, you can kind of step into this, oh, well, everyone's going to be back in an office and it's great to get everyone together. And it's like, you know, that's not necessarily going to be the case all the time, logistically, and also, you know, our job needs as well.
Exactly. You know, I think it's going to be, and the reality is companies have invested a lot of money in all these big buildings, and they can't just turn them off in most cases. You know, the joy of the cloud is you can turn things on and off. Fortunately, physical places don't work quite the same as that. So it would be interesting to see how all these needs are balanced. I think we'll move on a little bit because we have talked about this an awful lot, and it's been talked about. One other article we'll highlight, we'll put in the show notes, but not talk about too much, is if you're really looking for the science, Nature Human Behavior, which is part of the Nature, I was going to say magazines, but that seems to downplay journals. I think that's the word I'm looking for. It's talked about that same Microsoft survey and it's done a much more of a scientific view of it. So if you love those big, heavy documents that really go into the detail, this certainly goes into that on there. I admit I tried to flick through it just before now to have a good read. And yeah, don't try and read this in the end day. Sit down nicely, have a cup of tea and read it properly. It's fair to say. One of my good friends works for Nature as the editor for one of the other journals they have, and I noted to him about seeing this, he's like, were you really reading that? Bloody hell, you've changed, Ken. And I had to admit at that point, no, I hadn't read it all. So but do give that a read. I'm certainly planning to go through that a bit more. I think it's really good to see that. And there was some interesting chat I had with a few people about the kind of survey from Microsoft and different perspectives. And one of them I thought was interesting was, hang on, so Microsoft's only now considering remote working. What about all that stuff they talked about previously? Did they not believe in it then? And I don't think it's an entirely unfair comment, because many people have been doing this for years. So I think it was Phil Worrell who talked about doing this back in 2002, being able to work remote, and people like Scott Hanselman who've been remote and been preaching the right way to do this for a long time. So
I think on that, it's one of those things that it had to affect more people.
Yeah.
It's not just a few individuals. I mean, I've been doing the same. I know that I've been able to remote work for a long time, but being the odd one out, let's say. And you did have the challenges of, you know, being able to battle that I'm not in the office. And, you know, handling when you're going to the office, maybe that drop in productivity because you're not going to the office to work. So, you know, it's, I think, just brought it to the fore.
Which is a good thing. I think the comments that maybe it should have been brought to the fore a bit earlier, I don't think are entirely unfair.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
But Microsoft is still innovating. Well, maybe innovating is the wrong word, but doing interesting things and bringing ServiceNow into Teams on there. They still haven't worked out the noise cancelling for animals particularly well. Sorry for Gary's dog saying hello there. But some news that now ServiceNow has been brought into what I think seems to be the new phrase of the day. It's either hybrid or flow of work. I keep seeing that pop up on there. but really bringing your ServiceNow capabilities into a tab in Teams and really integrating it there. So it's you can bring your virtual agent. I think that's bringing the ServiceNow bots within there. It's all these different functionalities that Microsoft's been talking about a lot are really there for big enterprise products, and Microsoft's working with them to sort of help surface that and bring the right things out there. And I think it's very interesting. It really highlights that Teams is seen as that hub, not just for Microsoft products, but for all your digital workplace needs within there. So things like, it's got the translators, it says here, a great article talking about how Microsoft Azure Translator can handle the real-time communications between the different sides on there, bring the virtual agents. I think there was the ability to mention tickets from ServiceNow and have those tagged within chats and things. Much like what we were talking about with Dynamics, I think it was the week before last, the same for ServiceNow, and that fact that Microsoft products and third parties are being treated in the same way, I think it's brilliant. It's showing that the capabilities are there, and hopefully encouraging others to do the same thing as well.
Yeah, I again, it's the more examples we have of this, the more other organizations are gonna look and go, okay, how can we leverage this technology now? It's very easy to talk about Teams can do lots of different things, but this is bringing all of those things together to effectively change the way that you would work and change the way that, you know, people who are dealing with, you know, the outputs of these systems, you're doing it through Teams. You're not going to different portals. Yeah. You can do it all from one place. And you know, that's the vision. And this is helping bring that together.
And I'm chuckling slightly from the conversation we have all had. It is all in one place, which is great until you want to do two things at the same time. And then you are slightly stuck, but it makes things easy. You know, you can certainly open things up in tabs and you can see, for example, on the screen, there is the link, so you can still open ServiceNow into a browser and work with things there. But yeah, would be nice to be able to flip between things a little bit more easily occasionally. Another article that came out around Teams, and I hope we're not going to lose too many people at this point, but Yammer and the age-old conversation of, is it Teams or Yammer? Is it Teams and Yammer? Why the hell are you using Yammer? Which seems to come out. Who was I talking to at the event? Actually, I won't name them because I'll get in a lot of trouble for calling them out on there. But they were like, you're doing a session on Yammer, to someone else. Oh, you poor... the other word on there. It's like, so go on, tell me the benefits. And the poor person was slightly put on the spot. But for me, I think this shows that the power of Yammer is around that large teams. It's those large groups that are intended for it. Yes, you can do it within Teams, but and yes, there's now the ability to reply to specific messages in Teams. If you're following a long thread, you just can't do that in Teams. It would jump around all over the place. Yammer is geared for those ongoing separate points of conversations that you'd have in community, that ability to build knowledge and kind of ask questions and have that answered. The fact you can surface that in Teams mean it doesn't need to be one or the other. You can put both of them surfaced all via that same hub and access from there. So getting the power for me of Yammer is that Q&A is fantastic. That ability to have conversations in topic is where it works well, and then build that into your Teams as the community's app is perfect. So I think they're really just trying to talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big fan of the community's app. For me, that was a very simple app to build. And then, you know, drop that into Teams, and it's just it whilst you're in Teams, you can get to your communities, get to your announcements like you do from the, you know, your Teams notifications. Just kind of brought it together a little bit more, give a little bit more exposure to those communities as well.
And I love this comment here. I've been talking about tacit knowledge in a few of my Viva Topics talks at conferences and user groups, and here it is, that integration with Yammer, that tacit knowledge that people chat about suddenly becomes usable. It's the right knowledge at the right time, and Yammer helps make that happen, really. So there will still be plenty of people who will not enjoy Yammer, and it won't be for them, but I think for larger organizations, certainly there is a lot of benefit to that structuring things.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned Viva Topics as well, and the hashtags and the topics that you're now using in Yammer, and how that's going to work together. And obviously that Q&A, right, that answer is knowledge. So able to then surface that through one of the topics in Viva, again, just helps that Viva pillar, if you like. To just be able to use the tools that are already there, set up your Q&A, and then let Viva Topics pour the data.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm chuckling slightly because the blog that I'm just trying to publish and might put in the show notes about Commsverse, one of the common themes I have from that was how much Viva got mentioned, even in talks that weren't obviously about Viva. It came up a lot, and those talks that were about Viva were pretty popular as well. So everything comes to Teams and Viva, basically. If you're not doing stuff with that, it's time to give up. But joking aside, let's move on to something else, which is Power Platform. And I really liked this article about the public preview of Power Apps respecting conditional access on individual apps. Did you want to talk about this, Gary, before I...
Our resident security and compliance expert is leaving us in the lurch here a bit. But no, I think, you know, it's conditional access is one of those key security features in 365 and in Azure. If you're not using conditional access, then you should be looking at it to turn it on. It just does help you apply those policies and make accessing your data more secure. I think it's just a progression of that security story, really, from Microsoft. Like we've seen in recent weeks in the news, Microsoft working with other large computer organizations to cloud software vendors to increase security for governments. It's a hot topic, seeing more security come to the Power Platform is another great step forward.
And the data that's in there could be just as sensitive as anywhere else. I'm gonna take a pause now. We haven't got Al here to correct me, so you might have to jump in slightly, Gary, as my brain gets away with me. But some people might be going, okay, what is conditional access? What we're talking about here is when you have an app and you want to put extra layers on. So, for example, you have to be in a certain IP address range, as it says on here. You may say to do this app, you have to be connected with multi-factor authentication, so you need to re-authenticate to use that app. You could restrict which devices you can access the app from, so making sure you're on an Intune enabled device, so if there's data on there, it gets wiped. That sort of thing is what we're talking about, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and the whole mix and match as well. It's like, do you want certain policies when you're in an internal network? Do you want them applied when you're on an external network as well? It's just those granular controls to be just a lot more restrictive and I guess reduce your attack surface, right?
That's an interesting one. Can you actually do something within the app based on that conditional access? I haven't seen any kind of coded way to look at that, but that would be interesting
that I'm aware of. No.
Yeah,
I mean, lot of this is authentication and accessing different, data sources as well.
But showing sort of different messages or behaving differently depending on that conditional access policy. There's a user voice or whatever it's called these days for Microsoft to come for that one. Now, next article, I'm definitely getting you to ask about this because I saw this and went, man, that's PowerFX formula columns in Dataverse.
Yeah, I guess it was, I looked at this and coming from a SharePoint background, right, there's a lot of people that be going, what? Is this a thing?
Can't do that already.
We've had calculated columns since, the early days of SharePoint. I guess it's a couple of things that kind of pulled out for me was, one, PowerFX has been mentioned. So, again, the programming language of Power Platform, if you like, was was mentioned that you're able to, you know, build these little expressions in a nice UI that look nice, the little interface. And the other thing was, whilst this is a, you know, a nice feature and a nice step forward, that it's only available for Dataverse for Teams at the moment and not full Dataverse. So, yeah. The title was kind of misleading a bit, because there should be an asterisk at the end. You should say Data First for Teams at the moment.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed that.
So, yeah. So it'd be interesting to see how, you know, how long that takes to come across, and whether if it's actually just a big UI update that this is, you know, that this is, and it's not actually something already behind the scenes.
It's funny, earlier I was working with someone and found that they'd created a Canvas app, a Power app in Dataverse for Teams, but with SharePoint lists as the back end for it. And there were some reasons for that, but it just, there are times when you just do something and it feels wrong and dirty. And this was definitely one of those times, and made people kind of turn over in their graves, even if they haven't passed away yet. So, I did wind up Chris Huntingford on Twitter about that one. But yeah, it's kind of a trick. It's different in those cases. Just because you can, it doesn't mean you should from there, at least not without good reason. Now, this article, which is announcing co-presence in Power Automate, I almost missed this one because it didn't jump out as what it actually was. I saw co-presence, I thought this would be about like status, are you green, are you available, are you busy on there, but it's not. This is about the ability to work on a Power Automate flow with someone else at the same time. So like you can do collaborate on docs in Word, in Excel, PowerPoint, you can now do that in Flow, which is absolutely fantastic. For those who've worked on much larger flows and have had to wait for someone else to finish before you do your bit or can't check something out, very frustrating. You now can. And I think basically if you edit the same block as someone else, it gives you a warning and says it's locked. And if someone makes a change, it will warn you. But I just... fantastic. I'm so happy they've got this. I can't wait for this to come to Power Apps as well. Having the both of those together, it will suddenly become, you know, open this up to a lot more people and to be more available. And in some ways, I certainly have kept some apps smaller or built into multiple apps, because that inability for people to work on different screens at the same time are gone now. Well, I know that's Power Apps, not Power Automate, but certainly when that comes to Power Apps, that would be a big change. And I'm surprised this hasn't been shouted about more, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, you know, being able to share and work at the same time is just always a benefit, right? You're going to get massive benefits from that, either from a learning point of view, because you're working with someone else on the same technology, able to see those updates go through as well. So I think, you know, yeah, it's great. If honestly, yeah, I completely agree. If this technology can be moved over to other areas like Power Platform, that would be a huge game changer, definitely. Because I know that is a large sticking point of, you know, not being able to do, you know, develop on the same app, or you have to split things up and it gets really messy. So yeah. That'd be great.
Next one, final one on the Power Platform was actually not a announcement of news, but a fantastic thing from Mike Hartley, Heart of the Midlands, who's created an accessibility checker within Power Apps. So a way to look at the color contrast and details. Now, I know Power Apps do have things built into it as well, but this is just really details on the template system to make sure that you've got that accessibility to check that between your as it says here, Power Apps, Power Automate and Dataverse. He's created different background colors and a set of themes that will work and check on that. So well worth giving that blog a look. I think he's got a video on it. Is it on this as well? Or certainly there's links to it down there. There's a video about it. It's got details on GitHub as well. So accessibility is such an important thing, so important that you open things. if you're going to be boring about it, there is a legal requirement to do it for most organizations to make sure it's available. I'm hoping that's not why you're thinking about doing it. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do, but that there's a good reason, and double the fact that Mike's made it even easier to do. Fantastic. Really commend him on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you're only ever going to gain, right, by making things accessible by default. It's a no-brainer, really, because you're looking at it from a different perspective. You're opening up that app experience to more and more people. For me, it's a starting point. You know, bolt accessibility on the end, have it front and center, and add that into, you know, the way that you work. And you'll end up with better, more intuitive designs as an output as well, than simply, you know, ignoring it or leaving it to the end. So yeah, accessible by default, definite.
We like that.
Yes.
So moving away from Power Platform, I almost said back to SharePoint there, because we're talking about Teams. That was a slip of the tongue. Moving on to SharePoint, a completely different thing from Teams, I should add there. Some roadmap items, which are always nice to see, even if taken with a slight pinch of salt. Hub-to-hub site associations. This was talked about, was it the last Ignite or even the one in 2020, I think?
It's been around for a long time, this one, definitely. In fact, I saw a message about a week ago where someone was saying exactly the same thing. Hasn't this been around for a while? Have we got any news updates? And then it was actually in the latest message center updates that, yeah, actually it's getting there. It's very close. I think there's a preview at the moment. There's some preview PowerShell to enable this on tenants and try it out.
Oh,
I believe so, yeah. But yeah, it's coming.
I will try and dig out the link for that, and if you happen to find it as well, Gary, send it over.
Or I've just got it wrong. It was something else. But you know, it's in, it came up in the roadmap, and yeah, I think was like, say, ooh, this is nice, but yeah, finally.
I know there's definitely been some good articles about, you know, what it means. So when you connect effectively to hub sites, you know, what the impact is, how it affects theming, how it affects search as well. So search can go across these. So I can understand why it has taken a while, because the complexity of how those things cascade down. This isn't just about navigation. There is things that put through. And I think spending the time to make sure all those different scenarios work, which is good.
Yeah.
I'm slightly intrigued about this. I don't know if it's my browser adding troubles, but there seems to be a lot of question marks going into this roadmap one, which seems quite ironic for some of the roadmap articles, but intriguing on that. And another roadmap article that I liked, and Gary put this in the notes, and I kind of went, oh, what's this? And then you talked it through and got quite excited. I remember I had seen this. So, yeah, do you want to explain?
Yeah, so I guess traditionally you would just look at a communication site in SharePoint and a team site, and you know exactly which is which, because the team site would have the quick launch on the left-hand side, very static. And whilst that's great, it's not always wanted. And I know you know, efforts in the past on the team site template of people to remove that quick launch through various different means. Now you don't have to. Now you can just switch. You will be able to actually switch that, so that your team site will be able to take on navigation similar to a communication site.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I know we were chatting a bit before the show, and I was talking to someone at Comsverse again about this. So what is a communication site and a team site? What's the difference now? Because the biggest one that you really talk about with people is that you've basically got a wider one versus one with a left-hand menu. The main thing I can think about now is the permissions. So obviously a team site we generally tied to Microsoft 365 groups. And yes, you can break those, but that's the full permissions versus a communication site. You set them up separately. I think that's about it, really. I guess you're tying it to a Microsoft team as well. You can only be done with a team site, not with a communication site. But otherwise, they're much of a muchness.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if there's any authoring capabilities that you miss out on with it not being a communication site. Because obviously the team site template is still based around collaboration. You do get modern pages. I know that in the past there were certain page templates that you couldn't use in a team site, thinking full width.
Whether the full width ones, whether they become enabled or whether you won't have that full width. So even if you have a team site, maybe you don't make the benefit of that full width for page. But I think they're all in team sites now. But be interesting. There seems to be quite a few things landing in SharePoint at the moment. And with the Viva Connections bits, I've got a bit of a backlog of things to actually play around with as they land and try them out. So I'll try and get some videos out on that one. Moving on to the section I've neatly and cleverly called Other, because I can't quite find anything else that it goes under. Microsoft's carrying on with its buying spree. I think it's been kind of consistently bought organizations over time, and this time they bought something called Clipchamp, which I can safely say, and I apologize to them greatly, I had never heard of until Microsoft looked to bought them. But in-browser video creation and editing experience, so that ability to work with videos. They haven't said anything here really what they're planning to do with it. It does say it's a natural fit for Microsoft 365, which and a great fit for Microsoft Windows. So that was interesting. I did hear some people suggesting that maybe even Xbox, and that ability to kind of cut your videos that you've recorded from your live streams and things and push from there. Certainly hints more at the Microsoft 365 space on here, which I think suggests, Gary, that more the stream and ability to edit videos within there, which would be nice.
Yeah, exactly like you. First time I'd heard of this was the acquisition, and when I looked at it, its primary use seemed to be able to create social media videos. I want to make a video for Facebook and have the right layouts and things, and then it's gone on a little bit more, and obviously the technology has been over there to create the longer videos, more instructional videos, and it'd be nice to see the capabilities coming in.
Sorry. Gary, just to check, sorry. So you weren't using these to create all your TikTok videos?
TikTok? What? I do all of that. you've got this, what looks like a very nice modern video editing experience. And, like I said, video is becoming more and more, I guess, ubiquitous, right? We're recording meetings all the time. We'll record parts of meetings and then use those for as videos later on for people to consume, even within projects.
Did you say that some people actually rewatch those recordings of meetings? I kind of thought it was always a made-up thing and no one actually did it.
But it's, make them a bit better, right? Make them reusable, make them rewatchable. Because, again, it's the benefit rather than maybe reading a document, you have someone talking to you or you have some discussion going on. It'd be interesting to see where this goes, because it is very much across the board. All devices.
Yeah, could therefore use this. I think it'd be interesting, because I know I've tried trimming videos in stream before, and it can be 10 minutes just to take a few seconds off a video. So if it improves on that performance, that would certainly help. Interesting ones. Another one in kind of news that it's going to be important to some people, it's not to me, which is the Office LTSC, the long-term servicing channel. This is really about not Office Online. This is about people who want to buy a copy of Office. If you are old like Gary and I, you'll remember being able to go into a shop and buying Office off the shelf. If you're like Al, then you can remember being able to get it off the sort of little discs as well, not even CDs, but they just check and see how far he listens to the show. They have said they're going to continue with the LTSC. They've made that generally available. So if you don't want that version from Office 365 or Microsoft 365, you can buy a single one that you don't have to keep paying support for.
It's an interesting article, this, because you read it, it's almost like, yeah, well, we've released it and you can do that, but really, like,
some customers aren't ready to move to the cloud.
There's a section that just says, you know, you won't get cloud-based capabilities of 365, real-time collaboration, you know, security and all those things. And it's like, well, yeah, you have to factor that in, right? Security is part of Office as well. If you're not getting those updates, then you're potentially missing out on, again, having to wait for when the next cycle, you know, release happens again. I guess it is a very specific use case. It is still there, but in the vast majority of cases, you're going to be far better.
It's trying to make sure that people only use it for that use case, as it says, like on the manufacturing floor, something that's not internet connected, won't get the updates. Yeah. So if you do have that need, fantastic. It's there. Oh, and Project and Visio as well, which is all very exciting. Moving on to slightly sadder news. This week saw the death of Sir Clive Sinclair. Although for many children of the 80s, the ZX Spectrum would have been their first computer that they used at home, which probably they just used for games, really. And then someone tried to convince them to use it for other things, but it stuck with there. For me, he'll always be the guy that invented the Sinclair C5, and I desperately wanted one of those. I got to drive once, it was awful, and I still wanted one. The idea of something like that, I thought was amazing from it. But he was also, as someone who grew up from Tomorrow's World and that kind of thinking about new ideas, that crazy inventor, he to me epitomized that idea of the mad inventor coming up with crazy things, but trying to break what everyone saw as a norm, trying to find new ways of doing that. And for me, an utter inspiration. Still before the Acorn Electron over the ZX Spectrum, I'm afraid, but a true inspiration on the.
Definitely, yeah. And I think, you know, it's interesting reading articles about, you know, just him as a person and, you know, his personality and things. And you know, it's hilarious, the C5. And we talk about it and it's kind of ridiculed. And even the launch, I was reading how it was launched and it was freezing cold and they'd not realised that the freezing cold basically stopped the batteries from working. So it didn't work on its launch. And it was though that just kind of, you know, I'm going to build it and I'm going to release it and get it out there.
Yeah.
And that's got to be admired, right, as well. It is a bit comical at the same time, but I think I was also reading, you know, the comments from people. Elon Musk was mentioned in that article you just had on there, Satya Nadella as well, you know. You think, oh, it's just the, you know, the English inventor that just, you know, did the Spectrum, but actually, you know, the legacy that he left is just huge. It's massive. You know, and I know that we do laugh about the C5, but still, all the other things that he'd done, you know, the pocket calculator, all that, you know, basically bringing computers into people's homes, right?
Cheap computers,
made them exactly
available to people. It's amazing. Yeah.
And you know, the more accessible technology is, the more that can change people's lives, definitely. You know, whether that is a Spectrum, whether it was an Acorn, whether it's a Raspberry Pi at the moment, it's the same thing, right?
Now, I hadn't noticed the last article about outside inventing, his interest included poetry, running marathons and poker. And apparently appeared in the first three seasons of the late night poker television series and won the first season of the Celebrity Poker Club, defeating Keith Allen. I've got to go back. Him against Keith Allen. That could be hysterical.
That's got to be a YouTube video for that.
Slight deviation, but if you haven't seen it, there's a fantastic Amazon TV show called Halt and Catch Fire. I'm pretty sure it's still on now. I'll double check and put it in the show notes if it is, where they did a kind of fictional story of people inventing computers. So it's a story through the 80s, and then they go into the internet boom, and this kind of collection of people keep bumping into each other. And I always thought of Clive Sinclair as being one of those, and being part of that kind of excited hacking away at things and never quite being able to make it is, as a big businessman and things on there. So rest in peace, Clive Sinclair. And I'm going to put one other thing in the show notes that I'm not going to touch on too much. Now we are slightly over time, but entertaining article about how you can treat Excel as code and have it CICD with Excel. But if you fancy a slight deviation, I can see Gary's got that look of, you told me you weren't going to mention that. But yeah, I'll put it in the show notes and have a good read and let us know what you think anyway. It's about treating Excel properly, so that's the only thing I'd say. Moving on, we'll talk about some of the upcoming events. This Wednesday, the 22nd of September, there's another collab talk. I don't often talk about these, but Christian Buckley runs monthly tweet jams, so he puts a load of questions up on Twitter one by one and people answer. Great chance to have a chat, and it's lovely, anyone can join. So if you're interested in talking about the evolution of community, with questions of, with so many, how many online events, what do you predict will be the future of in-person events, and things like that. So do, if you're interested in the community, do come along. I will be there. Oh, look, I'm second on the list this time. I'll be there for it and chatting about that. All on Twitter, don't need to speak, don't need to do your hair and makeup. You can just be as you are on there. Mentioned Comsverse earlier. I know we've been talking about that an awful lot over the last 18 months. They will be back next year. I know that because Mark's got their place booked out. But the next in-person one is the South Coast Summit down in Southampton, 15th and 16th of October. Will be some fantastic events coming. I've just been told that I've been made one of the captains for the quiz team. So if you are interested in joining the quiz, there's going to be a lot of Power Platform people, but I'm led to believe that quite a few questions are going to be about Microsoft 365 as well as other things. And it's raising money for breast cancer awareness as well. So do sign up. We'd love to see some Grey Hat Beard fans come and join my team. If you click on register, you can pick the team captain. So, yeah, do feel free to come join our team. The other teams are available, but if you want to win, you know where to come to on that one. And there are also a lot of events going on the Friday. For example, there's the hackathon, and we've got a load of pre-summit workshops. So there's going to be one on Viva and Syntex, security and compliance. Do make sure, have a look. There's plenty of those with Microsoft's MVPs, such as myself. I'll be there for the Viva and Syntex one at a very low price, where you get the food, you get the expertise, you get hands-on with these workshops. They should be very interesting. So take a look at those, as well as on the day itself. There'll be lots going on. So really quite excited about that after Comsverse, and there'll be even more people. I think it's about 1,000 people coming to that, so it should be exciting on there. Other events going on, I don't think any of us are, you're not speaking at Collab Summit, are you, Gary? But
no, unfortunately not.
I did look at it, but it's just a bit too close to Christmas and family and things like that. So I won't be there. But if you are in Europe or want to get back in community, the Collab Summit comes in. They're fantastic events. Highly, highly recommend them. And certainly looking to go along next year and get along to that one. Because it's fantastic. So there'll be some really big people. You can see Dan Holm and Vesely Vanunna there. So some great keynote speakers as well. I think they've announced, yeah, they have announced all the speakers as well. But there should be some really good people speaking at that event. I see Naomi Moneypenny will be talking about Project Cortex. So it's actually a talk from 2019 by that. And then the final one, I haven't got the link here, but the Scottish Summit, which will be next February. I want to say, they've got the dates on here. No, I think it's 22nd and 23rd, something like that. Anyway, if you go to scottishsummit.com. But they've also announced that if you can't be there, they're going hybrid and they're actually going to use AltSpace VR. So you can actually have a VR on there, either with your headsets, if you're lucky enough to have one of those, or you can run it off your PC or Mac as well. And it's quite fun. I've done a couple of events on there. It does add a bit of interactivity from there, and you can go and watch and walk around the spaces, feel a bit like you're in a real conference. So I like that they're trying to, again, open up that hybrid ways of working to people. But I think many of us are certainly be there. I'm volunteering and hoping to get a speaking slot, but regardless, we'll be up there for that.
Yeah, hoping to get up there for that one. Hopefully make it the first one that I can actually get to in person.
Absolutely. It will be exciting. As I say, Comsverse has certainly whet my appetite to come to more of these in-person events. And, you know, fingers crossed to keep looking at some of the numbers and number of people around me who seem to keep getting positive tested. But hopefully next year we'll start to see things die down a bit and we'll be able to get back to more in person. I think that's about it. There's nothing else you wanted to cover, Gary, at all?
That's all about it.
Al should be back with us next week, and we'll have Carolina Kitakuri. Carolina Kitakuri, who will be talking with us about Viva Connections and the power of all the great stuff that's in Viva and what it means to people as well. So do come and join us next week. Otherwise, I've been Gray. We haven't got a hat.
And I've been beard.
Thanks very much. Speak to you next week.
Bye-bye.